Hallelujah. What's it going to feel like not to have to worry anymore? You know, some people worried about the end of the world. I'm like Brother Rutledge. I'm not worried really about the end of the world. I'm more worried about the end of the month than I am the end of the world. I believe that I'm ready to go tonight. Hallelujah. I want to live that away. I don't know when Jesus is coming, but I agree. I don't believe it's going to be in September the 12th. But I want to be ready whenever He comes, because He could come for me tonight. Could come for any of us tonight. And the only fallacy of some of the way they preach sometimes, they scare people. And of course, the Bible says that some are saved by fear. But you know, some of them, they get scared right the 10th, 11th of September, but the 13th and 14th, you won't see them again. They didn't really get it in their heart. You know, I'm so glad that one day I got it in my heart that I love Jesus. Let me say once again, it's our privilege to be here. I'd like to read a couple of passages for you. I'd like to start in Judges, the 15th chapter. And I will say that I feel a little bit intimidated here preaching for Brother Rutledge. I didn't start preaching until just a few years ago. Matter of fact, I feel kind of like the young man I heard about one time. He went to preach for a well-known preacher, and they had a stained glass window, and one of the little panes was broke out. They had a piece of cardboard put in there, and he said, "You know, I feel like that piece of cardboard trying to replace your pastor tonight." And after church, one of the ladies came up to him and said, "Brother," said, "you wasn't a piece of cardboard tonight." Said, "you was a real pain." And so I'm going to try to be a real pain tonight. Hallelujah. I said, "I'm just a country boy from Arkansas. You won't have to get out any dictionaries or anything to follow what I'm going to say. But I have a simple word from the Lord." I believe sometimes that in this day and age that we've got to the point sometimes we think we've got to find something new or some deep revelation. Whereas in reality, it's the everyday living, just simply believing the Word of God is what we really need, just faith in God. Judges, I think I said 15, excuse me. Judges 15, I'm going to read verse 7 through 11. "And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with the great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Edom. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, Why are you come up against us? And they answered, To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." And I want to pull out that phrase, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us?" And now I'd like to read from Acts, the 27th chapter. I want to read verse 23 through 25. Hallelujah. Tell you what, I felt the Holy Ghost here. I tell you what, the Lord is always here. We know He's always here when we gather in His name, but I like it when there's a little demonstration of it, you know. I know He's here, but I like it when I can feel Him. Acts the 27th chapter, verse 23. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." Hallelujah. Now, over in Judges, we read that they came to Samson and said, "Knowest thou not?" Now down in Stamps, we wouldn't have said, "Knowest thou not?" We'd have said, "Don't you know?" They said, "Don't you know, Samson, that the Philistines are rulers over us?" But we look over here in Acts, and you see somebody's got the Holy Ghost. He's telling them, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." And I want to preach tonight. I call this, "Don't you know? Don't you know?" Hallelujah. You know, science, praise God. Thought that was the anointing there for a minute. Hallelujah. Praise God. Science tells us that the bumblebee can't fly. That's what scientists say. They say that its wings are too short, that its body is too stubby, and that there's just no way that bumblebee could fly. But that bumblebee doesn't know that. That bumblebee just knows that the Creator that made him says, fly, man, fly. And so he disregards science. He disregards what man would say. He's got his faith in God. And the truth is, some of y'all don't look like y'all could fly in the rapture. But you see, the truth is, when the trumpet sounds, if you've got the Holy Ghost, if you've got His name, we're going to fly out of here. We're going to be on our way to heaven. I'm excited about the fact that I believe I'm going to a literal place. We live in a world where a lot of people don't really think there's a real heaven. They don't think there's a real hell. And what's sad is in the Christian world, if there's an article in the paper or the magazine and it says science found something that backs up something we believe, oh, we all get excited. Look at there. There's proof what we believe is true. I've not got my faith based on what the scientists believe. I believe God tonight. I believe that by faith this world was framed by the Word of God. I choose to believe that tonight. But my daddy, he was an accountant. He retired a couple of years ago, but he's a very intelligent man. But I always have told this story on him, especially if he's not here. And back in Waldo, back in the 60s, one time, daddy got a real bad sore throat. And, of course, you're not supposed to do this, but they did it back there. Brother Hill came up to him and said, Brother Beckton said, I had a sore throat a while back, and they gave me some pills. If you'll come by, I'll give them to you. You know, you're not supposed to do that, but, you know, we try to save a little money there. And so we went by and got them, and he gave Daddy these pills about the size of a quarter, a little bigger, big old pills. And so Daddy swallowed, you know, one that night and swallowed one the next morning. I told you he was pretty smart. About the second day, he started cutting them in half. They was easier to swallow that way, you know. But he did get better. But the next time he saw Brother Hill, and Brother Clyde Hill's a big man, I mean big man, he said, Brother Hill, he said, I know you're a big man. He said, but how do you swallow those pills? And Brother Hill kind of smiled. He said, well, Brother Beckton, don't you know you don't swallow them, you suck on them. But my daddy didn't know that. He thought that he was supposed to swallow the pills, so he swallowed the pills. What I'm trying to say is, if we would quit listening to the reasoning of this world that tries to tell us that you can't have revival, that tries to tell us that you can't really live an overcoming life, and we listen to them and we don't live like we could, if we would listen to Jesus and obey the Word of God and just simply believe the Word of God. I believe God. You know what I like about a new convert? They don't know you don't shout every service. You know what? Do you remember that time? You know, somebody had to get up here and give some deep revelation to get you excited. When you first get the Holy Ghost, man, I mean, I'll be truthful with you. I prayed through in 1981. I had been brought up in the church, but in 81 is when I prayed through. And I thought you could only shout one time a service. And so I would hold myself as long as I could because there wasn't a lot of people shouting in that church down there. And I didn't want to be so obvious. And I would hold myself as long as I could because I knew just sure as I shouted, right off the bat, boy, they was going to get to singing something or somebody get to preaching. I couldn't shout anymore. You see, I thought that was that way. I'm here to tell you, that's not the way. We need to get that new convert spirit. Hey, God, I love you. I've come to worship you tonight. I just love you. I want to adore you. I don't care what anybody else does, but I have come to magnify you. We need that new convert spirit. Hallelujah. But I believe God. I believe God. Amen. You know, this building here, would y'all believe that just one day all of a sudden that a wind came along and blew all the trees out of the way? And first thing you know, some concrete come down. Then some carpet just fell on there just right. And walls formed, you know. You wouldn't believe that. But you know, people want us to believe that this world just happened. You know, that it just was bam. You know, there it was. It just happened. There it is. Anybody that's got any sense can walk outside of us. We live in a world of order. Everything is in order. I'm here to tell you, I'm not ashamed of the fact I believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I believe that He spoke the word. And when He said, let the fowl come forth, it put the blue on the blue jay. It put the red on the robin. My God is able to do anything if we would just
begin to simply believe God. We live in a day of doubting Thomases. We live in a day that we really don't believe in the power of God like we ought to. We believe God for salvation, but we can't believe Him for healing. We can't believe about our finances. We're believing Him for heaven, but we can't believe Him sometimes about the everyday things.
You're right.
I want to believe God more.
Amen.
Now, I read this text in Judges, and I love old Samson. I preach seem like a lot about Samson. You know, he had problems, but who doesn't have problems?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the Bible tells us one day that he met a young lady, and she wasn't a Pentecostal girl.
Uh-huh.
That's his first mistake right there. And he went down to see her one day, and on his way down there, though, the Bible says that a lion roared out against him. And Samson, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he grabbed that lion and ripped his head off. I was reading that a while back. It says that he didn't tell anybody about that. Now, you know, if that had been me, they'd have me at General Conference this year. I mean, I'd be telling everybody how I killed that lion, how there I was, and all of a sudden, something came over me and I was able to kill that lion. I believe Samson had an humble attitude at one time. He didn't go around bragging about that. And the truth is, you don't have to get up and brag about things. If God's on your side, everybody's going to know God's on your side. When you're really living for God, it's going to be evident because the hand of God is on your life. But old Samson, he gave that riddle out to all those Philistines. And that woman came, and his wife-to-be, and got the nagging him.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than a nagging wife. I mean, I don't know, but I'm just saying, I'm sure that there's, you know, nothing worse. There would be nothing worse than a nagging wife. And this wasn't even his wife yet. And she just kept on telling me, telling me. And so finally he told her the riddle. Out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And so that was the riddle, and it was a lion, you know, with honey in it. And so she told the Philistines, and he got all mad, and he slew a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But finally, where we got to tonight, he had tied the foxes' tails together, burnt some crops. They had came and killed that woman that he wanted to marry and her daddy, burned them with fire. He slew some more, and now he's up on the top of the rock Edom, sitting there. And the Philistines come to his own brethren. That always bothered me.
Yeah.
Always come to his own brethren and said, "You better give us Samson." And so they come to him and they said, "Samson, don't you know that the Philistines are rulers over us?"
Oh.
And you know what the truth was? Samson didn't know it. He knew that when the Spirit of God came upon him, that he could do anything. And it's time for all of us that are in the church to realize we are not legislated by everything of this world. Yes, we've got to live in this world. Yes, we're going to have sicknesses. But if we can believe God, if we can simply get a hold of God, God is able to work miracles in our day. The day of miracles is not over. The day of faith is not over. The day of revival is not over unless we allow it to be over. I'm tired of this negative spirit about, don't you know, nobody wants the Holy Ghost. That's not real. There's hungry people in this city want somebody to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's good.
We live in too much of a negative world.
You got it.
Even in the church, you know, people say, I've heard them say, you know, this is a hard field here.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hard field here. Hey, if people are people.
Right.
They are people. People are basically the same anywhere you go. Now, I have to admit, up north seem like they're more heathen up there. You know, I hope nobody's from the north here. But I'm from the south, but I worked around a few guys that come from the north. Boy, now we cuss in the south, you know, but boy, I mean, they're vile from the north. But I'm saying, but the truth is, they're just like me and you. If I'd have been brought up in that environment, I would be just like them. It's only by the mercies and the grace of God that we're here tonight. And if anybody ought to believe in God, it ought to be us. One God, apostolic tongue talkers. If anybody ought to say, "God, I want to believe in you," because we know what He's done in our lives.
Amen.
I believe God.
Amen.
The Bible says that we are more than conquerors.
Right.
I heard a good example of that. It said there was two boxers was going to fight. And so they trained for 3 or 4 months. They ran miles. They sparred. Come the big fight, the winner was going to get $1 million. Winner take all. 15 rounds. They go 14 rounds. It looks like it's a tie. The 15th round, one of them throws a short right. catches the guy flush, knocks him out. They raise his hand. They give him a check for $1 million. He was the conqueror. But he goes home, and his wife is waiting. And she snatches that check. She's more than a conqueror. You see, he did all the fighting, and she got the benefit. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ has already defeated the devil. The devil has already been defeated. Jesus Christ has put him under the heel. We have the name. We have the blood. We have the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be more than conquerors. I don't have to defeat the devil. The devil is already defeated if I'll just believe God. I believe God. I was preaching for Brother Coker in Texarkana this spring, and he told me a story about a new convert. I love to hear stories about new converts. You know, they just believe what we preach.
Yeah.
They're not like the rest of us, you know. I mean, they just believe, you know, if the preacher says, if you'll make a lap right here, you'll get a blessing tomorrow. Man, they make a lap. They just believe what the preacher says. After you've been to church a while, oh, he's just in the flesh. That ain't God, you know. I mean, we get real critical, you know. That's just one man's opinion. But you see, when you pray through, man, you're looking through rose-colored glasses, and it's the way it ought to be. The man of God is the man of God. This man right here is the man of God for this church. And when he stands up here and says something, we're supposed to act like that was God telling us himself, because this is the man of God. But anyway, I don't need to get to meddling here, but this new convert worked at a service station, and he was all full of zeal. And a man came in, got out of his car, a regular customer, and he was kind of bent over. And he said, sir, he said, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't know. I woke up bad crick. He was kind of an older fella. He said, do you believe in the Bible? And the man said, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Of course, you know, everybody's a Christian nowadays. I mean, you know, you can't find no heathens in the South, you know. I mean, everybody's a Christian. You know, I belong to so-and-so church. He said, yes, I'm a Christian. And so that new convert went and got his Bible, whooped over to James and said, if you anoint with oil, you'll be healed. He said, do you mind if I pray for you? And the man said, no, go ahead. And so he said that new convert looked around, and the only oil that he could find was where they drained the oil out when they changed the oil. And he just reached his hand down that vat and slapped it on top of that man's head and began to pray for him. And said, the oil began to run down. And said, you know what? That man got healed, though. He came in and visited church because that new convert believed God. But he told Brother Coker, he said, you know, I wonder what would have happened if I'd used that super flow, you know, instead of using that old oil. But I'm going to tell you, it really wasn't in the oil. It really wasn't just in the fact that it was used all or old all. It was in the fact that he believed God. And we have got away from just simply believing God. We pray prayers and we don't no more really believe that they're going to come to pass than a man in the moon. It's time for us to realize that yes, we live in a modern day, but God is still the same. God operates on faith. If I'll listen to what God says, if I'll find the scripture and lean on that scripture, God will hear my prayer. I really believe that.
Amen.
You know, the Bible's just full of this. Moses, don't you know? Boy, I like that. Well, it was a good singing a while ago. Yeah. Moses, don't you know that there's a Red Sea in front of you? Don't you know that here comes the Egyptians? Don't you know there's mountains on either side? Yeah, he knew that. But he also knew something else. God said, I'll be with you, Moses. David, don't you know? Man, that's a giant out there. Don't you know you're just a lad? He said, yeah, but you know, that's what that bear thought. That's what that lion thought. And I choose to believe God. The whole Bible is just all based on a simple principle that people, instead of looking at things through what they could see with their natural eye, they decided to believe that God was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that they could think or ask. We've got to get back to just simple faith. Just say, God, it's in the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. That settles it, and I want to believe it. Just simply believe in God.
That's right.
And then Acts, the 12th chapter, I've always thought it's kind of funny. Peter is in jail. They've chopped off old James's head. And they liked it so much, they're going to get Peter. And the Bible says in Acts 12, I think verse 5 or 6, that it was the night before Peter was going to be killed. Peter was between two soldiers, and he was sleeping. Now let me ask you, if they was going to chop your head off in the morning, could you sleep tonight? I couldn't sleep tonight. Now, I've never prayed all night. I hate to have to tell you that. But I could pray all night tonight if they're going to chop my head off at 6 o'clock in the morning. I believe that I could keep myself awake. I believe I could stir myself. I mean, I believe somehow that I could really get under a burden if they're going to chop my head off. How could Peter be sleeping? You know what the Word of God tells us why? John, the 21st chapter. I don't know if you ever read this, but it just excited me. John 21 and verse 18. Jesus is talking to Peter. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, another shall gird thee." He said, "Peter, you're a young man now, but you're going to be an old man one day, and somebody's going to have to help you around." And you know what? Peter believed that. When he got ready to go to bed that night, he probably looked at the guard and said, "Do I look old to you?" And the guy said, "No." He said, "Thank you. Praise God. I'm going to go ahead and go to sleep. Because God gave me a promise that one day I was going to be an old man." And Peter didn't sit around fretting and worrying and wondering what's going to do, chewing his fingernails up to his elbow. He didn't do any of that thing. He just went ahead and went to sleep knowing that God was able to raise him from the dead if necessary. It's time we realize if this Bible is true, it really is true. If we would just find the Scripture that meets our needs and believe that Scripture and hold on to the promises of God, it shall happen. The Bible says it shall. It shall. It shall.
Amen. Amen.
I studied about elephants one time. And I've studied about some strange things. But I studied about elephants and studied how they train elephants. You know what they do? They take this thing, this article said, they take little baby elephants. They take a big old iron spike about this tall. They drive it in the ground. They put an iron chain attached to that spike, and they put it around the elephant's leg. That little baby elephant, he pulls and he pulls and he pulls. And after a few days, he goes, "Duh, I believe it hurts my leg. I'm going to quit pulling." And because it hurts his leg all the time. And after a while, after he's gone several days without pulling, they don't put that iron spike on. They take a little wooden stob about this long and a rope. And they drive it in the ground, and they wrap it around his leg, and that elephant grows up to be a full-grown elephant that's able to knock over trees and pull locomotives. But in his mind, he thinks he can't do it. And that's the way the devil does us sometimes. We tried to believe somewhere in the past for something, and it didn't happen. And we let the devil beat us over the head because I didn't have the faith back then. I'm going to tell you, it's time we throw those chains away and realize it's not my ability I'm depending on. I'm depending on God's ability. And all he wants is somebody that simply will believe him. You know, I'll make a confession to y'all. When I was a boy one time, I saw Tarzan on the radio. And they came and they stole the old boy. And they took him to New York City. And old Tarzan finally got across the ocean. And he got there. And he found him at the circus. They had old boy working with the animals. And they showed all these elephants lined up in a row. And they caught old Tarzan. They was fixing to beat him up. And old Tarzan gave out that yell. Beat his chest too. And when he did that, those elephants, instead of looking down there at their little old bitty stop, they kind of pricked their ears up. And they recognized that voice somehow or another. And they began to run toward that voice. They forgot about their past failures. They forgot about everything else. They just heard something they recognized. It's time we get our mind off of those chains. It's time we get our mind off our problems and tune our ear in and hear what the Spirit of God is saying. The Spirit of God is saying, "I change not. If my people will believe my word, I will heal. I will save. I will deliver. I am able to do anything if we'll just tune our ear in."
Hallelujah.
We're looking too much at our problem. We're looking too much at our situation. We're worried about our circumstances. We're worried about everything else. Just put it in God's hand and say, "I believe God. I don't care how long your children have been lost. I believe God. I don't care how long your husband's been lost. I believe God. I don't care how long you've been sick. I believe God." It's time we simply believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. You that need a healing, do you know anybody that's ever been healed?
Oh, yeah.
I would say we all have.
Amen.
Anybody that needs the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
You know anybody ever got the Holy Ghost? Yeah. I think you do.
Amen.
You that have lost loved ones, don't you know there's a lot of people who had lost loved ones that are now saved? I'm one of them. My folks kept praying. They kept believing, even when it looked like I wasn't going to turn around. For years, they just kept on praying. They just kept on believing. The devil's a liar. He'll try to tell you, don't you know they're never going to get right? Don't you know they don't really love the truth? That's a lie of the devil. I made up my mind when he tries to tell me something like that, I know he's a liar. So when he tells me they're not going to be saved, that means they're going to be saved. When he tells me I'm not going to be healed, that means I'm going to be healed. I've made up my mind, I'm going to believe God. You can choose to believe man, you can choose to believe the devil, or you can choose to believe God. And I choose to believe God. It's time we get back to simply believing God. How about a few positive, don't you know? Don't you know that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? Don't you know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world? Don't you know that his arm is not short, his ear is not heavy? Don't you know that the promises of God are yea and amen? Don't you know that upon this rock, Jesus Christ, he built the church and the gates of hell shall not prevail? If we'll just simply believe God, find some scripture that stand on the promises of God, God wants to show himself strong.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth.
Right.
To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him.
Amen.
So somebody says, oh, well, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm perfect through the blood.
That's
how I'm perfect. That's the only way I'll ever be perfect. But you see, if I've prayed, if I've got everything under the blood, and I'm trying to live for God, in the sight of God, I'm perfect. And he wants to be strong on my behalf. He wants to be strong on your behalf. But he has to have a human being that'll stand up and say, God, I believe your word. And God, I want to depend upon your word. He's got to have a conductor for the Spirit to flow through. I want to be a conductor. I'm going to believe God. He's no respecter of persons.
Right.
If he'll heal one, he'll heal another.
Sure.
If he'll save one lost one, he'll save another. If the same conditions are met.
Amen.
Revelation 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Oh, I like that. Whosoever will. Let him take of the water of life freely. I'm glad you don't have to be overly tall to be saved. I'm glad you don't have to be short to be saved. I'm glad you don't have to be skinny to be saved. I'm glad you don't have to be ugly to be saved. I'm glad that there's no particular thing. I'm glad that it just says, whosoever will. If you can come to God, he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If you can muster up just enough faith tonight to say, God, I want to come to you one more time and plead the blood over this lost loved one, or plead the blood over this situation. All you got to do is come to him. The promise is, I won't cast you away.
Right.
I believe God.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 6:15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. This is where I have problems. I have trouble patiently enduring. You know, I pray, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. I mean, that's the way I pray. You know, this is a problem we have. We think because it doesn't happen when I think it ought to happen, that it's not going to happen. But God's much bigger than me. His ways are much higher than my ways. When's it going to happen? I don't know. How's it going to happen? I don't know. Is it going to happen? Yes, I know. If it's in the Word of God, it's going to happen. One day there's going to come a trumpet sound. And when that trumpet sounds, the dead are going to be raised first. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in there. I believe that. If I can believe that, I ought to believe every other promise in the book. I ought to stand on the Word of God and claim our lost loved one, and claim our healing, and claim boldness in this city. For a move of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah. That's good, brother.
With God, all things are possible.
All things.
All things. We really don't believe that like we need to. You know,
that's right.
Let me tell you what happened, and I'm almost through. I don't preach long. Let me get me one drink of water. I went one place, they thought I was kind of dry, so now I get some water.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we lived in Shreveport, Louisiana, down there for 10, 11 years, and I prayed through in 1981, and in 1982, I was making pretty good money. My wife was teaching school, and everything was going good. And so I wanted to buy me a house, you know. Of course, we'd waited a while to get one. Of course, you know, I wanted to, you know, get one for my wife. So we went and bought a big house. Shouldn't have bought that house. And my payment was $912 a month. And if you don't think that don't make the winter go by fast, I'm just telling you, it flies by. And so we've been in that house, you know, and about a year or so, and the Lord begins to deal with me about preaching. And I think, oh my word, Lord, why didn't you tell me this a year ago, you know, before I bought this house? And so I said, you know, I better sell this house. And the economy's not been the best in Louisiana in the 80s, you know, it's been kind of rough. So I put my house up for sale. 3 months go by, nothing. 6 months go by, nothing. $912 every month, you know. And I'm so caught up by the Lord. Seriously, I've worked for myself that I had trouble getting my mind on my business. I mean, when the Lord really gets dealing with you, you know, you just can't seem to think of nothing else. And so all of a sudden, I wasn't making quite as much, and I still got this big old payment. But somehow, I was making it every month. I mean, man, I just barely make it, but I was making it. A year went by. I mean, I've had it up with two different realtors. You know, nothing's happening. A year and a half goes by. And I've been praying. I'm talking about I've been praying about this thing now. That'll make you pray now when you got to worry about that the first of the month. I mean, I was praying about it. And so finally, it'd been about 20 months when I tried to sell it. We went to the Louisiana camp meeting, and it just so happened it just ended up the realtor's lease or whatever the agreement was. So I took it off the market. I said, when we get back, we'll see what we're going to do. I was about to get discouraged about the whole thing. Yeah. God, did you even call me to preach? I mean, I know you have, but I can't preach if I got this big old house note straddling my neck like this. So I went down to the camp meeting, and our choir sang, the Shreveport Choir. Now, I'm not much of a singer, but I was the designated shouter. You know, I can't carry much of a tune, but you know, I still had enough of that new convert, man. You didn't have to get carried away. Just sing, man. Just sing, you know. I love to worship God, so they let me be in the choir. They knew I was going to bounce, and I used to jump over the banister, man. At King's Temple, had a big banister. The choir sang behind. They'd have me hymned, and I'd just jump over that banister, man. I mean, excited about living for God. So we were singing. And I mean, the power of God began to move and flow. And when we got through, everybody was worshiping. And all of a sudden, Brother Creel stepped into the microphone. And he said, thus saith the Lord, if thou wilt dance before me with all your might, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And when he said that, I thought, you know, I got nothing to lose. I got a desire here. And I mean, a lot of times when I shout, I give this little number here, you know. I mean, just what he's I'm talking about, he said, with all your might. I mean, I started getting down. I'm talking about, I was all over that platform. My wife began to do the same thing. You know what? We came home. I put an ad in the paper myself, and a man came out the first week and bought my house. You can believe what you want to, but I choose to believe God. I believe that God wants to move. I believe that God wants to save. I believe that God wants to send revival. But somebody's got to believe. Somebody's got to stand up and say, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the devil says. I'm going to believe God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We got to believe God.
Amen.
Let me, I'll tell you what. I wasn't going to tell this, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it. I've had people look at me funny when I tell this. We was in a revival in Shreveport. This is before I sold that house. And boy, I got into revival services, man. I need to touch every night, you know. And so, man, one night, not everybody, it's a pretty good-sized church, but not everybody stayed, but there was 40 or 50 of us lingered after they dismissed. And we stayed to about 1 o'clock, somewhere in that area. I'm talking about worshiping God. I'm talking about, oh, I haven't done that enough. Just getting carried away in the Spirit. You know, we're always so time-conscious. Oh, I got to go home. You know, I got to do this. And so this was a Saturday night, and man, we just got carried away. We forgot about church on Sunday morning. We were just worshiping God. And so, boy, we finally papered down a little bit, got ready to go, and got out to my car, and I pulled on my handle, and the door was locked. And I looked in there, and there's my keys just a dangling down. My daughter, Shelly, had locked the car. She'd always heard talk about locking the car, and I was bad about leaving my keys in the car. And so the last couple was driving off. I said, hey, Philip, wait a minute, man. I flagged him down, him and his wife. He had a little Camaro. I said, Philip, we didn't live but about a mile from the church. I said, take me up there. Maybe we can get in the house and get the other set of keys. We crammed in his Camaro, him and his wife, me and my wife and Shelly. Drove up there. Front door's locked. Go around to the back, patio door's locked. It's a two-story house, and we checked all the windows downstairs. We couldn't quite reach those upstairs. Checked them all out. We can't get in. And so I wasn't going to let it get my victory, at least, praise God. Sometimes I'd let that get my victory. I hate to tell you that. But, I mean, it didn't that night. I'd been in revival, and I picked up a brick, and I was going to break a window there by the kitchen. Threw my arm back, and Brother Phil said, say, brother, don't you want to pray about it? I said, pray about it. Oh, pray about it. Oh, I kind of grinned sheepishly, you know. Well, I guess we could pray about it. I mean, we have been worshiping God for 6 hours. I guess, you know, we talk about how big God is, but the first time we have a problem, we try to reason everything out. So we laid our hands on the side of the house and began to pray. Oh, God, help us get in this house. Lord, I hate to have to break this window. God, you know we've been worshiping you. And we opened our eyes, and sure enough, that window was still locked. And I reached back down and got that brick. But at least I tried. And I drew my arm back, and Brother Phil said, hey, brother, let me go get my tire tool. His faith was waning. He said, let me go get my tire tool, see if we can pry it open. So they all went around the front. They're gone a while. And I'm out there just talking to the Lord. You know, I'm still feeling the Holy Ghost. I wasn't going to let it, you know, I say, sometimes we let little things get our victory. I mean, we're just getting plumb bad mood over something that's not worth worrying about. But that night I was feeling so good. And they was gone a long time. I thought, what's keeping them? And I went walking back around the house. And there was two windows side by side right here. The living room windows. Two windows side by side. And I glanced over there. And I did a double take, and as the Lord is my witness, both of those windows was unlocked. I said, Brother Phil, come here. We begin to dance out there about 1:30, shouting the victory. You can believe it if you want to. I'm here to tell you, I believe God. We were in the midst of the revival, and I was foolish enough to say, God, you're able to do anything that I'll ask you to do. I'm here to tell you, we got to get back to believing God. Yeah. Believing God. Yeah. Some of y'all are looking at me like sinners when I tell that. My word. Does anybody think it's too hard for God to open a window? Is it too hard for God to do anything? Is anything too hard for the Lord? There's nothing too hard. Only we limit God by what we ask Him and what we believe in. If we'll get back to the simple thing of just believing the Word of God.
Amen.
I might as well tell you all the rest of it now. My wife don't like me to tell the rest of it, but I will. We were so excited that we decided we got hungry about 1:30, 2 o'clock. So we got in his Camaro, began to drive off, and I was so excited I began to shout in his car, stomping my feet up and down like that. Just before we got to the Piggly Wiggly store, he said, you smell something? I said, I believe I do. Got to looking, and we had a dog. And I'd been back here in that backyard, and man, I just stomped it all into his mat. He lost part of the victory over a little old thing like that. I'm here to tell you, though, God showed Himself strong because we chose to believe God. I'm here to tell you, the devil is a liar. The devil will try to defeat us. The devil will try to tell us that it's never going to happen. Let me say it one more time. I really do feel this. You that have lost loved ones, the devil, I know, because he's told me about mine, that they're never going to get right. They're never going to be saved. If you believe him, they never will be saved. But if you'll stand on the Word of God and say, God, I claim the promises of God, and I want to go to my grave believing that you're working on them, there is no thing too big for God. God is able to save to the uttermost. God is able to heal anybody if we'll just believe.
Right.
If we'll just believe.
Hallelujah.
I would have liked to, you know, I don't have much deep thoughts, but I have one or two that's deeper than this, but it's what I felt like preaching.
That's good.
Just to tell you that simply, the truth is we've forgot the just simple basic things.
Right.
Vince Lombardi, the great football coach, he wasn't real big on trick plays. He just knew that if you blocked and you tackled better than the other team, you usually would win. The simple things. We have forgot the simple things. Do you remember when you used to love to read the Bible? When you just loved to sit down, spend an hour with the Word of God? How often do we do that anymore? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why I love to listen to preaching. I was talking to Brother Rutledge. I love to listen to preaching going down the road. You know, I love to hear somebody preaching the Word of God. The more I can hear of the Word of God, the greater my faith is going to be built. You need to get into the Word of God. How long has it been since you just got lost with God in prayer? We live in such a hurry-up world. We hurry up and get up in the morning. We got to hurry up to the job. We got to hurry up and get the kids to school. We got to hurry up and eat lunch. We got to hurry up home. We got to hurry up and do our errands. We got to hurry up and eat supper. Hurry up and do your homework. Hurry up and go to church. Hurry up and go to bed. And we give God just a few minutes. God, here I am. I love you today. I thank you for saving me. Save my lost loved one, me, mine, and thine. Lord, bless me today in Jesus' name. And we don't give God time to talk to us. And we don't understand why we're not seeing what we should. We've got to get back to the basics of just praying, reading the Word of God, fasting, and believing that God is able to do anything. He's able to do anything.
Hallelujah.
Why don't we stand tonight?
Oh, bless you.
Moses led God's children forth.